All right, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. The player of the week is brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Titans running back Derrick Henry. He ran for 188 yards and two TDs on just 23 carries to lead Tennessee to a 35-32 upset of the Chiefs in Smashville on Sunday. Derrick Henry, the player of the week, brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the sport when Jackson and the Ravens welcome Watson and the Texans to the Charm City, followed by New England bracing for another tough road game in Philadelphia against the Eagles. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on CBS. Our toll-free hotline, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save a bunch of money. All you have to do is switch to Geico. Go to geico.com like Carver High did. And save up to 15% in like 15 minutes. It's ridiculous. What a deal. All right. So that Laker game is 109-108 with 5 minutes left. The Brooklyn-Utah game is 94 apiece with 9 and change left in Salt Lake. Shakers, and that game's getting rowdy. The crowd's getting all kinds of lit again, as usual in Salt Lake. They get all kinds of worked up. The profanity coming out of that crowd. I mean, have you ever seen that place when they get hostile?
Just ask Russell Westbrook, right?
Right.
He's had some run-ins there.
He doesn't like it there. Atlanta 104-101 in Denver with 6.5 to go. And I'm watching Portland and Sacramento. Blazers at the half on the road in Sacktown. 49-46. Blazers lead. Now, college basketball. Oregon leads Memphis. They're going to win. They're up 8 with 20 seconds to go. And I was looking at a lot of the games tonight. I mean, there was all kinds of good games. You already know Kentucky lost. Auburn beat South Alabama by just 1. And Iowa State blew out Northern Illinois 70-52. TCU beat Louisiana. I mean, blew them out 98-65. Texas over California Baptist. They beat them by 13. And then Butler, right now, 9 left in the second half. That's the last I got on it. 42-39, Butler leads the Gophers. Tennessee trails Murray State in Knoxville, 51-45 with 15 minutes left. Miami leads Central Florida by 1 with 17 minutes left. Stanford beating up on Long Beach, 55-24 with 15 left. Utah State blowing out Denver, 69-35, 11 left. UTEP leads New Mexico State by 6. And then Nevada and Texas Arlington are underway, 9-8. There's that chick. Maybe we could say something to her. I don't want to like throw her off her game or anything. Can I just tell her to give me a bag? That's all. I'll do the rest. So I bit my tongue. And I mean to tell you, I bit my tongue off. I'll do it because it's just filled with blood. I'll do it. Just give me a bag and I'll do it. I got it. Thank you, Carver High. Thank you very much. So I bit my tongue off and then I was just gushing blood. And I mean, I filled up this garbage can with like a gallon of blood. And I mean, it is so disgusting. But it was when Brando was coming on. The minute we went to Tim Brando, when I started that interview, you didn't know it, but I was in here just suffering. I mean, I was just gushing blood. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I survived. Gonzaga up on North Dakota, 72-48, 11 left. South Dakota State up 4-3 on USC out of the gates. And then there's other games. Fresno and San Diego are underway. Fresno 8-4 out of the gates. And then I'm just looking at any of these other ones. Washington leading Mount St. Mary's 27-24, 17 minutes left. Houston beat Alabama State 84-56. these games, Irvine and Pacific, 22-12, Irvine. So there's just, I mean, there's so much. That Kentucky game was 67-64, Evansville. It was crazy. Georgia beat Citadel, 95-86, Citadel covered. William & Mary over Wofford by one, App State by six over East Carolina. They were laying six and a hook. Chattanooga beat Troy, 74-68. Pitt over Robert Morris, 71-57. And Air Force beat Army, 69-57. I'm just looking for any of these. Duke, 105-54 over Central Arkansas. Tough schedule Duke plays. I got to tell you, those, some of those, I mean, just lining up the tough games. Central, you know, Arkansas, got to be hard on them tonight. They probably got, you know, they're probably gassed after that one. Jesus, what a pansy-ass schedule they play. Honest to God. What is that? What, they shouldn't even be allowed to play that game. Honest to God. What is that? And then what? They'll be number one next week. Count on that after Kentucky lost. But how about, we've already seen Michigan State lose as number one. Kentucky loses number one. We're going to see number ones dropping like flies this year, it looks like. Indiana beat North Alabama. Tough game for the Hoosiers there. 91-65. These games are so embarrassing that these teams play. It really is. Is it not laughable? It really is laughable.
It's laughable. The games, as we know, they don't matter. And it shows you how little the November ones, too. Like, even tonight, like, Kentucky loses to Evansville or whatever. That doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Kentucky can go on and win the SEC and
be a top
be a
two
one seed in
a
tournament. Like, them losing tonight, you know, is it embarrassing, you know, tonight? Sure. But in the scope of the entire college basketball season, when we're at Selection Sunday, nobody's even going to remember that Kentucky lost to Evansville. They just won't.
Well, yeah, because they'll be in the tournament and they'll be
right,
a top seed.
It doesn't matter.
Because they obviously didn't take them seriously
no,
at all.
No, not at all.
That's after they just won the big game, right? Didn't they beat Michigan State
yes.
or something? You know. It's unbelievable to me, though, these cream puffs they play. Like, Evansville's a lot better than some, like, you know, some of these other schools. Central Arkansas. I'm sorry. But, I mean, it really is. It's truly unbelievable, some of the games that they play. I can't even believe it. So Steph Curry says he needs a second surgery and still expects to play. I definitely expect to be ready to play. I don't know when, but at some point in the spring, it's just a matter of the rehab process. I've never really dealt with a hand injury like this. He'll be under no pressure to return quickly this season. In fact, how many miles he has on his body over the last 5 years, some extended time off could be beneficial for the two-time MVP. Are you listening to this? How ridiculous. How funny is that? So he's injured. He breaks his hand, right? So they're saying, you know what you should do? Just take the whole year off, because the last 5 years you've been so busy winning titles that you need a really good, nice vacation. You need to, because we're going to pay you $40 million anyway. But we just think you should take some time off with the family and go to Barbados, because you just have worked way too hard as a professional basketball player, you know, staying in five-star hotels and flying on first class and, you know, and eating in five-star restaurants and making $40 million a year. It's got to be tough for you to get out of bed in the morning. I mean, really, you need some quality time off. Like, take the whole year off because you're a candy ass. Why don't you go with all the other candy asses on your team and take the whole year off? And then remember the last crybaby you had on your team? He ran off and had to make a new lover in Brooklyn with Kyrie because he couldn't hang with Green giving him the business. So when Green gave him the business, Pansy Ass had to run to Brooklyn and start another super team because he didn't like being ridiculed by Draymond Green, who no one talks down to. He said it again yesterday. I'm a grown man with my own children. No one talks to me that way. I'll beat your ass, refs or otherwise. He doesn't listen to anybody, not the commissioner, not the head coach. He's his own man. He's a grown man. Is there anything funnier than people that pull that one out of their derriere still in life? How many people have you heard pull that one out? You know, I'm a grown man. I'm a grown man. You're talking to a grown man. Shut the Pharrella. Is that the dumbest thing anyone's ever said in their face, coming out of their mouth ever? I'm a grown man. I have my own children. Shut up. I mean, how pathetic is that? I'm a grown man. No, you don't talk to me that way. Well, sure I do. I just did. Like, how funny is this guy? He's another one. When's he going to quit? Is the whole team going to quit? Because I know they've all quit. They're a bunch of quitters is what they are. They went to 5 straight finals, and now they're all a bunch of pansy-ass quitters. Is that what they are? And their coach, let me guess, is he going to start having back problems again? Going to take a year off? Is that about due? Is he going to quit too? Because he knows his great winning percentage is going down the toilet this year. I'm about ready for him to step aside and quit. Because that's what he is too, right? A quitter? Is he going to be the next one to quit? Because the rest of them have. I mean, this guy saying he's not going to play this year is the most laughable thing I've ever heard. I broke my hand. I played again. I mean, honestly. But what is that? He breaks his hand. You're 6 weeks, and then I told you another 6 for PT, 12 weeks.
We know what's
it's
going on.
It's 4 months, but you're taking the whole year off
They're
because
going
you
in
lose.
The tank. They're going in the tank.
This is criminal.
It's absolutely criminal, and it's wrong.
It's criminal.
And when he's healthy, he should play. But this is the strategy here. They just came off 5 tremendous years where they won, what, 3 titles? Went to 5 straight finals. They won 3 titles. They lost 2 of them, right? Lost to Cleveland, lost to Toronto. Now they get to take this year. Klay gets to get healthy. Steph can take a year off with a broken hand.
Whatever.
I'm sure at some point Draymond
will. Oh, he breaks his other hand.
Some point Draymond will take a month or two off too. And they'll tank this year out. And they'll have all 3 of those guys coming back healthy next year with D'Lo too. And possibly one of the 5 or 6 best players in the draft this year. And then they can start the cycle right back over.
So let's talk about another bunch of posers, the Knicks.
Oh.
They lost again tonight. They got blown out again. And meanwhile, it was tied at 94, right, in the fourth. And then they, like, never scored again. They were shut down literally the last 7 minutes of the game or something. They like, legitimately never scored again in the game. And didn't they end up getting whacked by, at the end of the day?
They got whacked.
Cody White hit a bunch of threes.
7 threes in the fourth.
7 threes. I saw one of his step-back threes. It was ridiculous. But a good game going on right now. The Lakers lead the Suns by 1. Make it 4 after a 3 bomb by Caruso. Maybe it was Kuzma that hit it. I think it was. Kuzma hit a 3 bomb. And now it's 117-113 with 2 minutes left. It's just a great game. Rubio 21, Booker 21, Baines 20. And then Kuzma's got 20, Davis 22, LeBron 19. And Dwight Howard, 12, and 9 boards. They've actually liked Dwight Howard in the middle for him doing stuff. He's looked really good, and he hasn't given him any problems yet. That's, you know, 3 weeks into the season. I'm waiting for, you know, the flu to drop in there any time now. But the other good game I told you about is the Nets game. I got to check that game out. And the end of this Laker game, 855-212-4CBS to get on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so Mafia, you watch the Knicks. And, you know, I watched them tonight, whatever. And they, you know, once again, they don't know how to close a game out. Like, they're tied 94 apiece. And I'm watching a game. I'm like, they, you know, they're in it. They're playing tough. And I'm like, this is good. And then they lose by 18. They got blown out 35-17 in the fourth. They legitimately, it was 94 apiece, and they, like, never scored again. They scored 8 more points the rest of the game. And they gave up. It was 94 apiece, and they gave up 120. I mean, it was humiliating. Kobe White going off. Now, R.J. Barrett had 21. Now, they're saying that Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, and, you know, Barrett, the young Knicks, are making progress. Now, Neil Aquino's part of that group. He's been there, what, 3 years? So, I disagree with that. Like, I like Mitchell. I like the way he blocks shots and the way he, you know, has dedicated his life to playing defense. But... you know, He's not playing tonight. He's injured. So, you know, he's not in the mix. And then I got Knox. He has 10. He's 3 of 7 from the floor. He can shoot threes. The guy can hit threes. He hit a couple of them in the game. You know, he shot 44% from downtown. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. But, you know, Barrett tonight, I like this game tonight. 21 points, 8 of 16 from the floor. 2 of 4 from downtown. 3 of 6 from the line. 9 dimes, 6 boards, 2 steals. That's a good game. But the problem I'm having is, I'll be honest with you, and you tell me, Mafia, Bobby Portis one night has 28, he's the talk of the town. The next night he sucks. The next night he's decent. The next night, like tonight, he had 7 points in 20 minutes. And it's just pathetic. It's so erratic. They have all these forwards, and he's allegedly a center, but they have all these forwards that, you know, bottom line is, and they don't call him, Gibson's a forward, Randall's a forward, Morris is a forward, Portis is a forward. That's all there is to it. They have all these forwards. You heard Geltzeiler talking about it. And the bottom line is that, you know, all of them have been puke. Like, even Randall has not, he looks miserable playing with the Knicks. Like, I think he's got a look on his face like, why did I decide to play here? Because he was playing so much better in New Orleans, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like we talked about and like Gelt, you know, mentioned, they signed all these guys that pretty much play the same position. So you're throwing a bunch of them out there, so they're playing either out of position or they're not getting minutes because Fizdale keeps changing the rotation. You don't have a set, this is the starter, this is the guy that's, you know, 6th man off the bench, this is the other guy that's going to fill in. It changes by the game. So these guys aren't getting consistent minutes. They're not getting consistent lineups where they're playing, you know, with certain guys and they get used to how each other plays, where they got to help on defense, where the guy's going to be on offense. They just don't know what they're going to be doing game to game. And if you don't get that, you don't have that going, then how are these guys going to know how to play with each other or who they're playing with and get any better? It's just going to be the same hodgepodge of, okay, my turn to shoot. Okay, now I'm going to try to take over. I mean, just guys like Morris just try to do everything, and it's kind of holding these young guys back.
Did you see Ntilikina tonight? He played 30 minutes. He had 3 points.
I mean,
he's so he's like a roller coaster. You don't know what you're getting with the guy ever.
Once these other guys get back and in full shape, he's going to be buried again. Once Dennis Smith Jr., you know, is back at full strength, he missed a while, so they're holding him back on the minutes right now. They're working him in slowly.
That guy has turned into something is going on with him. I don't care what you say, because you cannot have that kind of athleticism. You cannot have that kind. Do you remember him in Dallas dunking the ball all over everybody's face? Now, do you understand?
He was awesome.
He had 0 tonight in 14 minutes. And then he's averaging 1 point a game. I mean, it is unbelievable. He's averaging 1 point a game. And he's not getting any burn. His career, he's a 14-point guy. What is wrong with that guy? I don't get, is he on drugs? I don't know what the deal. How do you score 14 a game in the NBA for a living? You're a star player. Like, he was a young star player in Dallas, without a doubt, high draft pick, right? And then the Knicks get him, and he's an absolute wash. He's 1 point a game. Now, I know his someone died in his family, and I know he had to go deal with that. That's fine. I'm sorry to hear that, but he sucked before that happened. Do you understand? Like, he was terrible before that death. Then he left to go deal with the death, and then he came back. He's back now. And tonight he was absolutely dreadful. I don't understand. And then I got to tell you, the way Perry and Mills handled it with the presser on Sunday after they lost to Cleveland, that those two clowns would go on record, go in front of the New York media, and sit there and throw Fizdale under the bus like that is all you need to know about those two backstabbers. I mean, honestly, can you imagine what team in the NBA, name one team that does that. Name one team that will take the GM and front office, you know, brass and literally have a press conference after a loss and talk about firing your coach. Who does that? Who throws their coach under the bus in front of the media after a game? They have a press conference to talk about they're not happy with Fizdale and the Knicks. The way they've handled this, if I were Dolan, I swear to God, and I know he won't, I feel like he won't do it because he's been like lovers with Mills for like 20 years. Perry, I don't think he cares about one lick. But if I were him, seriously, right now, I'd fire all of them. All 3 of them. I'd get rid of all of them because The bottom line is that Jesus could coach this team, and they're not going to win. Fizdale's not winning with this team, ever. They will never win. 27 and a half wins. Good luck. That was the over-under in Vegas. What they win last year, 17? They are so pathetic that it is absolutely abhorrent, even like watching them. Like watching Fizdale coach is laughable. And watching Mills and Perry is even, it's like going to stand-up comedy. It really is. Why in God's name, and I know you said last night money, but why in God's name, even for money, would you take a job with James Dolan to go to work at the Garden for the Knicks and all you do is lose and your career goes down the toilet? Everyone that goes there, their career ends. Phil Jackson, now he was old, but his career ended there. He's finished, like completely finished. By the time he was done, he was smoking bowls with Bill Walton in a teepee up in the woods somewhere. I mean, trust me here, that guy's finished. All you had to do was hang around Jim Dolan and the Knicks for a few years. And I got to tell you, the job he did was porous. He's the one that brought Nil Aquina here. Nil Aquina couldn't play in our league. I mean, honestly, he's terrible. He's a terrible player, and they keep trying to sell me that he's some good player. He sucks.
Right, Phil Jackson was finished before he came here. That was the thing. He just did the money grab. He barely showed up, barely did his job.
It was
like, yeah, I'll just take your checks. That's
but
fine.
Why would anyone want that job? Anyone? Why would Ujiri leave Toronto that when they win every night, even without Kawhi, they're winning? Why would he leave that for this?
I don't think that smart people would take the job. I think
just dumb people?
No, I think that you need to find somebody desperate. And as far as the coach goes, I think there is one guy who's desperate enough and knows the Knicks well enough that I think he would take the job. But you still need to clean up the front office end. I honestly think that Mark Jackson would take the job if they offered it to him. He's desperate enough to coach again. We've seen it for years. Knows the Knicks, obviously. I think that Mark Jackson's a guy.
Are people saying he should get the job?
I mean, his name's floated about there, but when you think of somebody desperate enough to take the Knicks job who maybe garners enough respect,
right,
it might be him.
They love Jackson in New York. I'll give you that.
But they definitely, you're right, have to clean out the front office. That's been a problem with Dolan the whole time he's on the Knicks, because the Rangers, at least he stays out. He doesn't know hockey. He lets them do their thing. The Knicks he's always messed with for years. He left, presidents in there that just did terrible, including Mills, including, you know, some of these other guys that he's had in the past.
All of them, Isaiah.
Isaiah Thomas. I mean, he's just done it over and over again, and he thinks he knows what's going on there, and he doesn't. And he just lets crap stay there. Mills should have been gone years ago. That's the problem with this team, is that Mills has made it trash. I mean, Fizdale came in because he was going to get to coach Porzingis when he came back this year. Halfway through his first season, they get rid of Porzingis and leave him with this roster, which just looks like you and me going playing pickup on a Saturday morning. It's just, okay, those four guys got next. Doesn't matter position. Doesn't matter how good they are. They're the next guys waiting. Let's throw them in, because that's what it looks like.
Mills
four
was,
random guys.
Mills was doing – he was working at Barclays when they brought him back from the dead. They brought him back to the Garden. He was in the financial world.
If you look at his record, it's like 200 games below 500 in the time that he's been there with the Knicks, you know, as president.
He obviously, it's painfully obvious now to me, and I think a lot of people, he has absolutely no idea what he's doing. He needs to go back into financials. Get out of basketball. He's terrible. Remember when they had Grunfeld, right? And then they screwed him, too. I mean, it is absolutely, it's like a bad movie.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Don't forget to sign up for PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everybody's doing it. The best site for picks, top shelf results, killer price, unequal football snags, hoops as a slam dunk, hockey winners, boxing, MMA, we're a knockout. Sign up today, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Last week, college football, 63% of my bets hit, 60% of my top 10 spreads hit. Pros, 5 of the 10 weeks I've been in the 70 percentile bracket, which is incredible. Last Sunday was crap, but every other Sunday's been awesome, so I'm bound to have a bad day once in a while. Hopefully we'll turn it around this week. I already hit the Seahawks spread on Monday night. Let's see what we do. Thursday night, you got Browns Steelers. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. So Colin Kaepernick is getting a private workout for every team in the league on Saturday in Atlanta. Now, Jason Lockenfora wrote a column tonight on CBS Sports about how it's a great thing that it's happened. And that, you know, bottom line, he says it's, you know, he was due this and, you know, that they've never done this before for anyone. They have never done anything like this ever for anyone. They obviously, he says they're making real progress, getting it right. The guy has conducted himself in the way his lawyers and reps have persevered in this matter. It was the right thing to do, according to Locke and Fora. And, you know, the shunning of Kaepernick had gone on long enough, he said. It's a bad look for all involved. It should have never come to this, especially for a league that embraced second chances for men who've done way worse, been accused and convicted of far worse, people that get the jobs. The effort to schedule workout for him is a noble gesture, it says, and a meaningful one. He had already settled a lawsuit over collusion accusations, but the quarterback had not been given a shot in the league. Even his owners pledged $90 million for the types of social justice initiatives that Kaepernick was championing. So the timing and haste with which it all was decided was announced, and it didn't do Kaepernick any favors. Thus, people are saying that, you know, usually free agents work out on Tuesdays for NFL teams, and that on a Saturday, it's a problem for everybody. Coaches won't be there. They're on the road. They're with their teams. Assistant coaches are on the road with their teams. Scouts are at college football games on Saturdays. And so the question begs, who's going to be there? Who are they going to send? The accountant? I mean, the bottom line is, part of the announcement is that he would he agreed to do the workout if they had people there that were legitimately capable of signing him, right? You know what I mean? Like, the representative from the team that's there, at least one of them has to be someone that has the capability to make a move. You know what I mean? That you work him out, and you could actually offer him a deal right then and there. And it caught Kaepernick by surprise, allegedly. He didn't see it coming. It was a take-it-or-leave-it offer. They sent an invite to all the teams, and it would be in Atlanta. There's no wiggle room. Take it or leave it. And then, there's not a lot of time here. So it's this Saturday. So he didn't have – he had 2 hours to make a decision. He made it. He's doing the workout. And he just wants to get back in the league. He was 29 when he left the league, right? So now what is he? How long ago was it? 3 years? So he's 32. And so this is huge.
Yeah, he just turned 32 at the beginning of the month.
They're saying, you know, we'll see which team's personnel commit to going to the turnaround. The quick turnaround from announcement to workout gives them an easy out if they do not attend. And he's the last one to get the Niners to the Super Bowl. And I love the way he wrote this. Will it be sufficient to show Kaepernick is worthy of the kind of opportunities routinely afforded to guys like Blake Bortles, Blaine Gabbert, Matt Schaub, and Nate Peterman? I mean, the list goes on and on. Worse than that. There's quarterbacks worse than those guys playing in the league. Plenty of them. Do you think he will work out and get a job? What do you think?
No, I don't. I think it'll work out. I think there might be some people there, but I don't think it's going to get him a job. I mean, for me, the timing is terrible. I mean, not only, like you said, you mentioned about it, everyone being on the road for games, everyone being on, you know, at college football games. It's also so late in the season that no one's going to bring him in to me and reboot their system for him. If you're going to do this, you got to do this in the offseason. Teams who maybe are more quarterback hungry because they're not sold on their starter or want somebody to push their starter might bring him in. Maybe a situation, you know, if this was in the offseason, maybe Tennessee brings him in instead of, you know, Tannehill or some of these other situations where he could have gone elsewhere and pushed the starter. To me, now everything's set. Like, you have your playbook and everything going. Everyone's learned everything. You're not going to throw him in the mix at the end of the season.
Do you think that he's stupid not to, like, play in the XFL and be a star there because he's so hell-bent on being in the NFL, meanwhile no one's giving him a look or a job or even an offer? Would he be better off just playing in the XFL?
If they offer him enough money, why not? I mean, because this workout's nice. You're going to do this, but if it doesn't get you anything, you got to get a paycheck, right?
He doesn't need a paycheck.
He doesn't need a paycheck.
He settled for millions with the league.
I mean, I just feel like he'd go in there and just, he'd embarrass people. Like any NFL quarterback, legit NFL quarterback would. No?
Landry Jones isn't going to humiliate
anyone. Landry Jones not in a legitimate NFL quarterback.
The Steelers thought he was.
Well, that's the Steelers' problem. But, I mean, I think that Colin Kaepernick would, even not playing for 3 years, he'd eat that hack league alive if he played in that thing.
So why is that so bad for him? Then people could see what he could do. This Saturday workout that nobody's going to, what are they going to send, a pencil pusher?
Well, I think the Saturday workout is part of the thing, like I was reading earlier from Freeman, like it's a sham. Because you know on Saturday, like you were just saying, and Jason was saying, nobody's going to be there. Nobody's going to be there on a Saturday during the season.
Especially on 4 days' notice.
How much money do you think he got in that settlement?
He got a good check.
He made millions. And then he's making millions off of Nike, isn't he? Isn't he like a huge spokesman for Nike and all that? And changing the world? He actually makes good money, doesn't he? I think he does. It is without reservation that I say that that guy was colluded against for just absolute certainty. Right? I mean, like, how could it be anything else? Have you ever seen anything like how that guy got blackballed by the NFL?
And they're doing it again. Like you said, they gave him 2 hours to say, hey, we're doing this, set, you know, 4 days from now. Do you want it or don't you?
Hurry up.
Like, you got to get your stuff together. You got to get here and probably not going to have anybody show up. You want it?
Sign it by 5 o'clock or you're fired. Where have we heard that before?
I mean, hope number one was him saying, that's ridiculous. I'm not showing up. And then they'll be like, hey, we tried and he didn't want to come. And then hope number two is, we're doing this so late in the season, everyone's so busy, no one's going to show up anyway. This is stages of them with their denial that we did all we could, and just he wasn't
up for it. But do you think, we all know the guy can play quarterback, right? He was pretty good, right? I mean, all things being equal.
I mean, even that year they had under Chip Kelly, and the last year in the 49ers, like, the team sucked, but he wasn't bad.
So this was all about the activism, right? And being, standing up for something and making a statement and being, frankly, political, being an activist, going after, human rights and the abuse of, police abuse, right? You know? Can you believe what they did to him? Like, seriously, that they, like, legitimately rubbed him out of the league completely because of what he stood for. And that he tried to do what was right. I mean, that's really what he stood for, right? He did something that was, without a doubt, a problem. Is that about right? Is that fair to say? Like, no one's arguing with what he stood for, right? That he actually, what he fought for, he was right. Was he not? And then he got treated like a pariah. Did he not? I mean, was it not incredible with the way they treated him? I mean, honestly, like, the guy was right. He was dead right.
Yeah, considering how, there are plenty of other guys who were involved in that, and they got jobs like Reed, the Bennetts were heavily involved in the protests, other guys.
I don't think it's just blacks either. I do not believe that.
No,
it's
there
just...
were there were other, Caucasian players that stood with them. I think the thing that hurt
him
a lot.
All of the police abuse goes all ages, all walks, all races.
Right, but especially minority groups.
Without a doubt, but I think that they actually, what he's talking about, like, it became more of a black issue, but I think it's more of an issue of all walks of life. I think everyone has a problem. A lot of people have a problem with the popo, with the way they treat people. Now, listen. I'm a huge fan of the cops. I always have been. But there are bad cops, right? There's no getting around it. And the abuse of power and the treatment of people of race and otherwise has been clearly abused, right? Is that not about right? I mean, you could argue that till the cows come home. So I think it's a real problem. And he stood for something, and look what it got him. It's unbelievable. It really is. You know what I mean? He's almost treated like a whistleblower, right? Like they, you're a castaway, right? They send you off to your own island and nobody wants anything to do with you, right? So it really is unbelievable. Do you think that he'll get a job? Do you think this will work for him? Or do you think this is the final straw of the NFL saying, all right, we've already settled a lawsuit with you. Now we're going to try to make ourselves look good by giving you a workout for all 32 teams. And if somebody shows up and offers you a job, so be it. And if they don't, you lose. Call the show I know you have an opinion about Colin Kaepernick. He's getting a workout Saturday in Atlanta finally. That only took 3 years. Do you think he should get a gig in the NFL again? Do you think he should go to the XFL? What do you think? I know you have something to say for once in your miserable life. Crack a cold one. Call me up. 855-212-4CBS. This is Pharrell on the Bench on CBS Sports Radio.